The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter. Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he knew himself what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. When evening had come, his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land toward which they were going. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, good morning. Oh. How's everyone? How are y'all feeling this morning?
Good, good, good. I'm a little restless.
I always get restless before I have to take a big trip. And today I'm going to camp. So, not that I'm nervous, but it's just exciting to go back to camp. It's finally back to being normal, I guess. Okay, so I have a piece of candy in my hand. What is it?
It's a Kit Kat. Okay, Kit Kats are famous for having a jingle back in the day, and it said, "Give me a break, give me a break, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar."
The idea was that you would break it off, and you would share it with a friend. Now, how many Kit Kat pieces do I have?
Four. How many of us are up here on stage?
A lot.
A lot. Very good. So I want to bring out the Kit Kat and the story of Jesus today. It's because this is how great Jesus is, and this is how powerless I am. Jesus is the Son of God. He is 100% a human being, just like me and you. He had hair, he had eyes, nose, mouth. He grew up.
That is how powerful he is. And Jesus was once a little boy who's probably your size, and he grew up, and he was tall, and then he grew a beard. He went through teenage years and stuff like that. But Jesus is also 100% God. And so when you ask Jesus, "Hey, can you share?" Jesus has his power to multiply.
Now, if Pastor Tim said, "Nick, I need you to put some energy in the kids, and I need you to put some energy on the people here in the sanctuary, so can you give everybody a piece of candy?"
Okay, do me a favor. In this side of the stage, you count how many people are over here. Peyton, you count how many people are over there. Start counting. How many people do we have? Are we above 20? It's a lot of people, right? So let me ask you this. Can these four pieces of Kit Kats feed those entire people over there?
No.
Plus you?
No, I count 27 people.
27 people. Well, guess what? I'm a little bit stubborn, so let's just try it.
Okay, so
27 people.
All right. We have 8 because I broke it in half. We'll break those halves in half. And 8 times 2 should be... Piper, help me out. What's 8 times 2? 8 plus 8? 16. So you break those two in half. And do you know what 16 plus 16 is? Okay. Gwen, can you do me a favor?
32.
It is 32. Very good. Gwen, can you do me a favor? Can you go ask anybody, and be very careful because there's a bunch of crumbs. Can you go ask anybody in the sanctuary, do they want a piece of candy? Does anybody want a piece of candy? Does it look like it could fill you? No, it can't. All right, Gwen, you can come back. Gwen, you can come back. So no, it can't. So if I was asked to multiply, I can't do it. I'm not Jesus. I can only divide. We can only divide. If this was a piece of bread, we can only cut it so much. And we can only give so much to the people. With Jesus, however, he multiplies. And in our story here, he took those 5 pieces of loaves, he took those 2 pieces of fish, he multiplied it so much that the entire crowd was fed. Not only were they fed, but they were fed so much that they said, "Thanks for lunch, Jesus." And then Jesus said, "Hey, disciples, go into the field where they were sitting, pick up all the waste. I don't want any wasted food." So Jesus is just like your grandparents. No wasted food is ever allowed. And then they picked up all the food that was going to be wasted. They put it in a basket, and it says they had 12 baskets full of leftovers. So not only did everybody eat enough fish and bread to say, say it with me, thank you, Jesus, but they had enough leftovers for 12 whole baskets. Isn't God amazing?
That would be enough to feed about 12 people in Jewish...
Probably enough to feed all of Yorktown and Cuero. It's a lot of people. So today I want to tell you that people can only divide. Jesus multiplies. Thank you, God, so much for sending your son into our lives. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. To the people of the early church, this story, the feeding of the 5,000, was a very important story. It was so important, as a matter of fact, then, that it's actually included in all 4 Gospels. There's several stories like that that are included in all 4, particularly the Passion account. But this is one of those few stories that are included in all 4 Gospel stories. And in some of the Gospels, it's included twice. It's an important story, not only because of showing the signs of what God does through Jesus Christ, but it cuts to the core of who we are as Christians, or what the church is as the body of Christ. When the first people are in this story, when Jesus feeds these people, they are amazed at what Jesus can do, that with just this little bread and fish, he's able to feed all of these people. They're so amazed at what he does that they try to make him king, but they're missing the point. The people were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for that Savior that had been foretold. And Jesus fits that pattern because they were also fascinated. They were starting to follow him because of what he had done for the sick, of how he had healed the sick or cast out demons, or maybe some of the messages that he had been teaching and preaching. But they were ready to make him king. And to a certain extent, isn't that what we look for in a politician? Somebody who will feed us so that we know that we have enough in life, we want politicians who will make sure that we are taken care of. Well, they were ready to make Jesus king, but it was missing the point of who Jesus was trying to make us to be, what he was trying to do here on this earth. This was a sign that the kingdom of God has come near. It is a message that God's kingdom is here and that God is present and that God is active in our lives. But even more than that, our faith is not about us. Our faith is about other people. It's about sharing our faith with other people. Jesus blesses these people by the Sea of Galilee. He blesses them with food. He blesses them with healing so that they can become a blessing. So that these people can go out and spread the news that God's kingdom has come near. That's how the crowds were starting to grow. That's how we have 5,000 people here, is because they were spreading that message that the Messiah has come. And it's that same message that we proclaim as Christians. The Messiah has come. God blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. Our church here is not for us. The purpose of this church is not for us who are gathered here. The purpose of this church is for us to go out and gather more people. It is to go out and proclaim that good news of Jesus Christ. That's the mission. A few weeks ago, prior to this story, in Mark's gospel anyway, Jesus sends out his disciples two by two. You know, at first, when the gospels or story first starts, Jesus starts to gather or call his disciples to him. He picks 12 people to be his disciples. Well, he didn't call those 12 disciples just to make them good people. He called those 12 disciples to train them to go out so that they can train other people. And so just a few weeks ago, we read that story where Jesus was already starting to send them out. And it says in the story then that they did proclaim the good news, that they healed many people, and they cast out demons. Now, if you would have told these disciples several months before that's what they're going to be doing, they would have probably blown it off. They would have said, I can't do that. I mean, if you look at this story right here, who has faith in this story? Who believes that Jesus can feed 5,000 people? There's only two in this story that believe that from the start. One is Jesus himself. He knew what he was going to do. It says right here in John's gospel, Jesus knew what he was going to do. So he asked Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? Well, Philip thought it was impossible. It would take 6 months' wages and they would only get a little morsel, is Philip's reply. Andrew, on the other hand, doesn't believe it's going to happen too, but he sees some hope. The only other person here that believed Jesus could do something was a little boy. 12 years old, I guess. I think is that what it said. But a young boy. He too believes Jesus could do something. He offers up his own lunch. He says, here's some bread and a little bit of fish. Will this help? You got to give the disciples credit, though. They do follow Jesus' direction. They had been around Jesus long enough to know, to trust him. And they followed his direction. Have the people sit down. Take this meager food. Go out and spread it around. And then at the end, come back and collect it. The disciples were willing to follow Jesus, even though they doubted from the beginning. They doubted that Jesus could feed this many people. But yet they still followed his direction. We are blessed with so much. We are blessed so much as a church. We are blessed so much as individuals. But we are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others, so that we can go out and proclaim the good news. What happens when we are blessed and we don't go out and bless other people? You know, we have all the food that we want to eat. We have money. We have a nest egg. Many of us have nest eggs. We have retirement accounts. We have property. We have vehicles. We have friends. We have families. Many of us have gifts or talents that we're very good at, maybe with finance, maybe with music, maybe with art, maybe just strong, maybe being able to have skills to work, having knowledge, being able to teach. God has blessed us richly. What if we don't, if we don't use those blessings to be blessings to others? What if we don't share those? What if we don't, what if we're a teacher and we don't teach? What if we are a plumber and refuse to work on any kind of pipes? Does that work get done? No. But it's not only those who are on the receiving end who lose out. It is us who do have the original blessings. Because we are losing something within ourselves. We are losing that nature of God that says, we want to bless. We want to give. We have a need to give. There is a need within us to give in order to be healthy. We have to share. It is who we are created to be. And when we deny that, we are denying our faith within us. We are denying God. God has given us so much stuff. He has blessed us. Just like he blessed this crowd here in our story. He blesses us as well. You may think, well, I don't have enough to give. I don't sing well enough to lead music. I don't know enough to be able to teach. I'm afraid of crowds, so I can't speak in public. But here in this story, that little boy is the one who shows his faith and says, I have just a little bit, but I'm willing to share. Jesus takes our little bit, whatever little bit we may have, and it makes a huge difference in the hands of Christ. Christ is able to multiply that. He is able to use that so that as we are blessed, we too may bless others. Christ feeds us. He feeds us in so many ways. We too need to be a blessing to other people. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.